Closure. June 6th, 2022. Fourth anniversary of my move to Olympia. Part 1. It's a little snippet of a song from a group called the Specials. You're wondering now what to do. Now you know this is the end. I enjoyed a most remarkable walk today, out at Woodard Bay, my favorite place. I almost said took instead of enjoyed, but that word is inappropriate, even impertinent for some walks, which involve a lot of receiving and giving, but never taking. Even giving and receiving do the unfortunate things that words often do, separating what is really one thing into two seemingly discrete parts. These two in particular are always one when they occur in the context of a loving relationship, which is what the forest was kind enough to invite me into this morning. In Woodard Bay, you might be thinking, if you read my work, how could any walk in this place be remarkable? Someone who has been there hundreds of times over the last 4 years. I'll try to explain all of that, but given the way my meandery head works now, it may take some time, because this remarkable walk actually had its inception about 10 days ago and has been evolving in regular increments toward today's denouement in the meantime. I wish I could tell you all of this at once, as I so often wish now when I sit down to write about things that are both singular and synthetic in my head, overriding all the rules of grammar and narrative, those slaves of temporal sequence we cannot evade, so captivated are we in their thrall when we want to tell a story. But language just won't allow for that, so I'll have to build it, as always, in bits and pieces, words that make sentences, sentences that make sections, sections that make an essay, taking all the time it takes to make it all, stringing out the last 10 days like a wagon train, even if, in my head, they feel compressed into an instant, altogether, this remarkable walk. So let me begin, as is my custom, with what just happened to me this morning. Then I'll work back over as much as I can remember of its context, in whatever order seems to make the most sense along the way. I woke up so happy this morning. It was sunny, blue sky full of fluffy clouds ferried along on a stiff breeze. A bit cool, but given how inordinately cold and wet this spring has been, what I saw through my bedroom window looked like a heavenly hint of what I hope will become a most fulsome summer. I know immediately that today was a Woodard Bay day, the best place for the best days. So after tea and Tai Chi, my morning routine, off I went. The second I entered the forest, about 50 yards down the entry path, sharp left, the spot you see me at on the cover of First Summer, I felt enveloped in a welcoming aura of selfless love. If you think that sentence sounds wildly overblown or sloppily sentimental, stop reading right now. I mean it, right now. Go away, for your own sake, because it only gets worse from here. That same phrase recurring over and over along the way. You will not be pleased. Take your time if you want. I'll wait. Okay, now that I'm here with friendly ears, I felt enveloped in a welcoming aura of selfless love. This is, you know if you are a citizen of the forest, the everyday economy of such communities. So unlike the ones we humans, at least most contemporary Americans, create and are compelled to endure, alienated both from our natural habitat and from one another. That may in fact be why civilized cultures feel such an urge to colonize, enslave, and destroy nature, unable to tolerate the deep shame we feel about our own dystopic anti-communal cultures the second we enter into one that is not like that. This forest today, say. Indigenous peoples aren't typically afflicted by this sickness of soul, so feel quite at home in such places, as I did today. In any case, one of the strange things that happens for me on walks of this specific sort is that all of a sudden, many trees that seemed previously unreachably off the path are right there, pathside, next to me, reaching out and inviting me to reach back. I'm quite sure they don't move around day to day, so it must be a perceptual thing for me and for them, a sense of intimacy, which always makes farther seem closer. I try to be cognizant of boundaries in all of my relationships, including those with trees, which communicate quite clearly the degree to which they are ready or eager to accept a gaze or a touch. Today, tree after tree was saying yes to me, and I said yes back. It was thrilling. I won't mention all of those interactions, which would take forever. Just one, the big one. There is a monumentally huge big-leaf maple, wide as my driveway, taller than almost any building in downtown Olympia, about 3/4 of the way around the main circuit of this walk. It is breathtaking, regal, with one outward-reaching branch bigger than most of the trees I saw on my walks at Boyce Park back in Pittsburgh. I so admire it, revere it even, this scion of the forest, with a wisdom hundreds of years in the making. It is set about 20 feet to the left of the path, a distance that usually seems impassable, not just because of the undergrowth, but because of the stolid reticence of this tree, noticing everything, but never beckoning. Today, there was, for some reason, an open path right up to the base of that tree and an express invitation from it to come and join it for a few celebratory seconds of mutual contact. So I did. Maybe it took all of my many walk-bys for it not to notice me. As I said, I'm quite sure it notices everything. But to trust me, opening a way into the community, it anchors and oversees. Our greeting took maybe 30 seconds, no big deal, just hi and hi, but it meant the world to me. That tree has seen me hundreds of times and now finally reached out to meet me, willing to give, receive with me anytime at all now. And by meet me, I mean exactly what I said above, enveloped in a welcoming aura of selfless love.